My goodness, thank you, band, as always. Wonderful job. Very good. Great foundation to start with. I suspect that many of you have read the book Animal Farm by George Orwell. Many of you have read Lord of the Flies by William Golding. Many of you have read Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll. And some of you have read Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift. And one thing that these books share in common is that they are in a literary genre called political or social satire. The way these books are constructed is that there's a story present that's just a story. And all of these can be seen as children's books. Some of you may have had them read to you as a child. But also there's another layer underneath the bare story that is a commentary, a satire on situations in which they were written. Animal Farm is about a farm where the pigs and all the other animals can talk and they take over the farm. And the story, again, you can read it as a story as to what happens there when the animals start acting like humans. And that is the underneath story. It's a commentary on what was going on at the time, and actually it describes the events that were leading up to the Russian Revolution of 1917, hidden in this children's story. Lord of the Flies is about a group of adolescent boys who were shipwrecked on this island. And the story is how they survived and how they got along. The underlying story is the interplay between individuality and group dynamics that was going on in the culture at that time. Alice in Wonderland, of course, is a marvelous story about Alice falling down the rabbit hole and all the Mad Hatter and all these other characters that were so endearing and entertaining. Underneath that story is a commentary on the strange behavior of most people in Victorian England at that time. Gulliver's Travels, again, a children's story about a man who went on a journey and got shipwrecked on an island. One of the stories is called Lilliput. It was an island of humans that were 6 inches tall. And Gulliver, as this big giant, normal-sized human, lived among them for a while. And the story is about what happened there. But the underlying story is a deep comment on the social conditions at the time, how the people in his culture, the author's culture, were very small-minded and behaved in very petty kind of ways. So I have these two layers going on all the time. Another body of literature that fits somewhat into this genre of commentary is that of fairy tales. And we've all heard fairy tales. We've all told fairy tales. And one I suspect that every one of you has heard was Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Remember that one? I had a book. It was about this big, and the bears were fuzzy on the pages. I think I still have it in a box somewhere or another. But there were actually three iterations of Goldilocks I keep getting Goldilocks and Red Riding Hood mixed up. But the story that most of us know is the third iteration of that story, where Goldilocks is walking through the woods and goes into the bear's house, and there's Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and Baby Bear. And she finds porridge there, and she samples it, and one's too cold, and one's too hot, and one is just right. And then, of course, there were chairs and beds that were the same thing going on there. So we have this story, an entertaining story. Of course, she goes to sleep in the bed that's comfortable, and the bears come home, and she runs away. And that's it. Great children's story. I want to use that today for our purposes to make a point and to offer us a paradigm of spiritual growth. Now, what happened with Goldilocks is that in one situation there was too little, it was too cold. In the other situation there was too much, it was too hot. And then she found that place that was just right. Now, for me, this is a metaphor for our lives as we go through this human experience. On one hand, there's the extreme of so little feeling. I've counseled so many people down through the years who say, I feel empty. I feel cold, I feel dark, I feel dead. There just aren't the feelings there that they wanted to be able to experience life to its full degree. And very often what happens when people have this experience, they try to make up for it. And developing an addiction of one kind or another is often what happens. Try to fill the silence, fill the emptiness with something. And it never turns out real well. Even to cutting oneself. I worked with a teenager one time who started cutting herself. And I said, "Why do you do this?" And she said, "I just need to feel alive." And that's the way she found to do it. Detrimental behavior to a person's health and wholeness. On the other end of the spectrum, away from too little feeling, there's too much feeling. Any of you ever felt overwhelmed by the situation that's going on around you that you find yourself in? Too much talk, too much action, too much activity, too many demands, too much pain, too much sorrow, and we feel completely overwhelmed by that. And interestingly enough, just as there are addictions which develop around trying to put feelings there, addictions can also develop in trying to cover feelings up. The attempt to get away from the too much, to get away from the overwhelming feelings, addictions are often come into play there. So we find this scenario in life where on one hand, it's too cold, it's too little. On the other hand, it's too hot, it's too much. And can we, as Goldilocks did, find a place where it is just right? And for a lot of people, this is what life is all about, this struggle, bouncing between these two extremes, trying to find that place that is just right. A place where we feel comfortable, a place where we feel real, a place where we feel alive, a place where we feel human. And that's a real challenge for us sometimes. But I was looking at this in the context, and I know that I've got a lot of pieces here, and hang on, we're going to put them together before it's over with. But as I was working on this and thinking about this, I thought, well, how is it that we can do this better? If this dynamic is happening, if this is a process that's really in play out in the world, how can we do it better? How can we change that? There was one researcher that suggested that beauty is a feeling rather than a way to describe a person's physical appearance or the glory of a sunrise. Beauty starts from the inside and works its way out, meaning the more beauty you internalize, the more beauty you will see and experience. Could it be that the use of beauty would be helpful in our trying to find that place that is just right? And could it be the feelings of beauty are the vehicle through which we can make this happen? In the movie Contact, which is one of my all-time favorite movies with Jodie Foster, she's a scientist who gets put in this machine and shot off into space. And at one point, she's immersed. She's been through this wormhole and around. And all of a sudden, she's in this place with the stars all around her. And she reaches up and she touches the stars. And it makes this little sound. And she begins to cry and she says, "It is so beautiful. They should have sent a poet." That is the most poignant line in the whole movie for me, where she realizes the depth of what's going on here and the wonder of what's going on here, the feeling of beauty. In the movie American Beauty, there's an adolescent boy who's a videographer, and he says to one of his friends, "I want to show you the most beautiful thing I have ever seen." And he had videoed this plastic bag, like a grocery store bag. It was up against a wall and the wind was blowing and this bag was swirling up and down and around. The wind was moving it all around. And he said, "This is the most beautiful thing that I have ever seen." And you could tell that he felt it so very deeply and so powerfully, the beauty of the moment. Could it be that we could use this feeling of beauty to help us in that search for the place that is just right for us? Now, everything that I've said so far, I could put together in a workshop or a seminar, advertise it in the local paper, and teach it at a hotel conference room somewhere, completely secular up to this point. And it still works. It still makes sense, or at least it does to me, that we can use this feeling of beauty when there is no feeling and we want to feel alive, to use a feeling of beauty to experience that. when there's that place of overwhelm, when it's just too much and we need to slow down, and we need to find a quiet place to use that feeling of beauty to help us in that place. So no matter where we are, no matter what's going on, if we can call up from within us this feeling of beauty and use it to be in that spot. Now, we've already talked about over the last couple of weeks some of the things that people find beautiful. An Italian sports car for some people is beautiful. A Corvette is beautiful. So that's one way of looking at it. In nature, there is so much that is beautiful. I have I subscribe to this website that sends me every day a group of photographs that people have taken, professional photographers have taken all over the world. They take pictures of all kinds of things. I found one yesterday. It was photomicrographs. That is, photographs taken through a microscope. And this guy had taken alcoholic drinks and crystallized them and then taken a picture through a microscope of these crystallized alcoholic drinks. When I was I remembered when I was a Baptist minister, and I used to wear ties and coats, believe it or not. I had a tie that was a photomicrograph of rum and coke, and I would love to wear it to church in my Baptist church where they're supposed to be teetotalers, you know. And people would comment on my tie, and I'd just smile and say thank you. That you're commenting on the beauty of rum and coke, and that I got this perverse pleasure out of that. But that was one place where there were these amazing pictures. There was another one the other day of a hummingbird in his wings out. He was flying like this, and the sun was shining through his wings, and it looked like rainbows off his wings. It was amazing. And I love taking pictures of small things. I have a long macro lens on my camera, and I always look for little bitty things to take a picture of. And on a couple of occasions, I found these tiny, tiny little mushrooms about the size of a hat pin. And just hundreds of them in this old rotting log. And it's just, I got down on my belly and took a picture of that. Just amazing. Beautiful, I would say. And of course, there's sunrises and sunsets. And there are mountains and lakes. And there's snow-capped mountains. And there are fall foliage mountains. All these things that we can register for ourselves and be able to say, that is beautiful, and I feel the beauty of that, and to hold to that and claim it for your own. And it may be people that you can say that about. You can look at someone and say, you are so beautiful, and feel the beauty of that. And you can see, you don't have to say it to somebody. You know, it's weird in the day that we live in, you have to be careful about giving somebody a compliment. It really is sad. And kids too. I used to love to, if you're behind somebody and a little kid's looking out the back window, you know, to make faces at them and wiggle your fingers and that kind of thing. You don't dare do that now. I mean, you scare people when you do that. It's a shame that it's come to that. And it's such a shame it's come to we can't really compliment someone without, for fear of creating some kind of problem that's there. But we see people who are beautiful. I saw, and it seems strange in our culture to use the word beautiful for a male. But I was in the airport in Chicago a long, long time ago, waiting to get on a plane. And the plane had landed, and the people were deplaning off the plane. And there was this black man who got off. And he was shorter than I was, but he had really rugged, chiseled figures. And his skin was so black, he was blue. And I was just completely taken with it. And I wish I had had my camera, and got his permission to take a picture of him. Because that was the first time I found myself looking at a man and using the word beautiful. It was just amazing. He looked like, I don't know, like a king or something. So that is around us all the time. And every opportunity we have, we need to take to register a feeling of beauty. So when we have that experience of either extreme, of too little feeling or too much feeling, we can use these feelings of beauty to be present and to find that place that is just right for us to be. And I think this is powerful stuff. Now, again, up to this point, we could have done this in a completely secular setting, because I've not mentioned anything about spirituality at all, but let's do that. Let's step into the realm where we live as spiritual beings and see how this goes further. Now, I think it's important to know that beauty does not lie in the object. I remember standing in front of the Pietà in Rome and tears streaming down my face to see the beauty and to feel the beauty of that statue. But the beauty was not in the chemical composition of the marble out of which it was carved. When we look at the Mona Lisa, I have another app on my computer where you can take virtual tours of the great museums all over the world. So I spent about an hour in the Louvre last week without even having to fly anywhere. And you realize that the Mona Lisa is only about this big? Isn't that amazing? And I know it sounds kind of arrogant or something, but when I was in Rome and I went to the Sistine Chapel, I was terribly disappointed. I thought the Sistine Chapel was this humongous place. And as this relative to what else is there, this tiny little room. But anyway, I saw the Mona Lisa the other day. And of course, got a close-up of it and everything. But the beauty of the Mona Lisa is not in the kinds of paint that was used. The beauty of a Corvette is not in metal and rubber and engines. The beauty of a person is not in how their face looks. The beauty of a sunset is not really in the sun. Because the beauty that you see there is the reflection of spirit. It's not in the object itself. What you're seeing there is spirit. And that is powerful. I've been outside several times recently through the last couple of cycles of the moon because, you know, the position of the heavenly bodies changes during the year. And now the moon is over this way so that it's off to the side of the roof of my house so I can step outside at night and see the moon right there. And the other night I found myself saying, oh, that is so beautiful, the full moon. Because it feels that way. But you realize that the moon is just a hunk of dead rock up there. And what makes it so beautiful is when it reflects the glory of the sun. What you see shining up in the sky is not the moon shining. It is the moon reflecting the light of the sun. And everything that we see that we say, that is beautiful, we do so because it is the glory of spirit reflecting through that object and resonating with the glory of spirit that is in us. So this is even more powerful. This idea of the feeling of beauty is powerful even in a secular sense. But when we add that recognition, that understanding, that what really makes beauty, beauty is the presence of spirit. And what enables me to see something and say, that is beautiful, and to feel that experience of beauty is because the beauty that is being reflected by that object or situation stirs that same truth that is in me and in you. So beauty is about the realizing and the experiencing of spirit that is in us. So I encourage you this coming week, as you meet circumstances and you find yourself not feeling much or anything at all or what you want to feel, rather than trying to find something else to stir that up, to fill it up with, stop a moment and recall the feeling of beauty. Recall a scene, a situation, an experience that stirred the beauty that is in you and bring that up in the moment and let that be what you feel in that moment. Let that be just right. And when you find yourself in those situations where you're overwhelmed, where there's so much going on around you and so many unanswered questions and so much to do as you often find yourself, take a moment and call up a feeling of beauty that brings you back to that place that is just right. A place that slows down all the madness around you. A place where you can be still. Somebody ought to write a song about that, huh? So we bring up feelings of beauty that serve that purpose for us, to fill that space and allow us to be just where we need to be. Now this is something that is fluid. It changes. Because sometimes when you need to bring up a feeling of beauty that allows you to be still and quiet and pensive, that's important for us. But there are other times when you need more energy. You need to be at a higher level of movement and activity. So you bring up another feeling of beauty that stirs your soul in a more deep way. And that changes from day to day, from moment to moment, sometimes for me anyway, as to where that spot of just right really is. Which end of the spectrum is it closer to? And it will change. And that's a good thing about knowing that Spirit is present no matter what. Spirit is always present in you, regardless of which end of the spectrum you're on. Regardless of what's going on around you, regardless of what you're feeling in your humanness, Spirit is always present. And that allows us to find that spot that is just right. So I encourage you, as I said a moment ago, or as I read the researcher's response, that the more beauty we internalize, the more beauty you will see and experience. And I've talked about this dynamic before. I remember when I moved to Colorado and I wanted a four-wheel drive Jeep. Well, all of a sudden, everywhere I looked, there were four-wheel drive Jeeps all over the place. And during this month of beauty, it's been amazing. Everything I read has something to say about beauty. Or I see the word beauty over and over again all over the place. So the things that are going on inside of us, we see going on outside of us. So I encourage you, every opportunity you have, when you see something wonderful, don't just say, oh, there it is. Internalize it. Acknowledge that feeling of beauty. I remember realizing that everybody's not able to do that naturally. When I was in my Baptist church down in South Mississippi, one of the big things was softball. And in some cases, I think they had church in order to have a softball team. But we would play softball like crazy. I can remember playing softball to 4 o'clock in the morning and then having to preach at 10 o'clock because it was a tournament that went all night long. But one day, we were going to a game. I was in the car with a couple of my buddies. And it was on this long stretch of straight highway. It was down in South Mississippi, and these longleaf pine trees grew on the side of the road. And there was this canopy almost growing over the road like this. And the sun was setting off in the distance right where the highway was. And I was just mesmerized. Oh, my gosh, look at that. Oh, isn't that wonderful, isn't that wonderful? And my buddies were talking about batting averages of their favorite teams. And they said, oh, yeah. And then went right back to the discussion of batting averages. And I thought, oh, how sad they missed that moment. So I would encourage you, don't miss the moments. When you see something that is beautiful, go, oh, and claim it for your own. And take time to rehearse that, because that's going to come in real handy when you need a different place to be than where you are. I think everybody needs to be able to have an image in their mind of somebody looking into their eye saying, I love you. I respect you. I care about you. Perhaps you could do that for somebody this week so that they could have that feeling of beauty to carry with them. Many, many ways that we can do that. If you are open, if you just say, here I am, Spirit, trust me, those things will come along. They're all around us. But even more so if we say, today I am open to feelings of beauty that I've never had before. Today I'm open to seeing the beauty in someone else and in myself like I have never before. And watch what happens. And you hold on to those feelings of beauty and you use them in those moments when you need to be just right. I'd like to close with a quote from Papa Charlie, Charles Fillmore. All persons in rare moments catch glimpses of Spirit's creative plan as a whole and of man's importance in its beauty and its perfection. But this subject is so deep and so far-reaching that it can be realized in small degree only by those who have developed spiritual sight and feeling and practice thinking in the fourth dimension or the kingdom of God. So the more we practice this, the better at it we get. The more we collect feelings of beauty, the more feelings of beauty that we realize and experience out there in the world. So remember that beauty lies not in the object. Beauty lies not in the situation. Beauty lies in the fact that whatever we designate as beauty is really reflecting the beauty of God, reflecting the presence of Spirit, and that resonates with the presence that is in you. And that way we can find that place that is just right. I'm going to invite you to be still with me for just a moment. And let these words and ideas soak into your mind and into your heart. And let us know when it's too hot or too cold, there's a place that is just right. When it's too hard or too soft, there's a place that is just right. And there's a place that is light or dark. There is a place that is just right. So I invite you in this moment to bring up in your mind and heart the image of a feeling of beauty that is the most powerful one you can think of in this moment. The most powerful feeling of beauty that you remember having. Bring it up for yourself in this moment and just revel in that sense, in that feeling. And let that empower you and let that comfort you and let that energize you and let that heal you as you are in just the right place. God bless you, my friends.
And know that the lesson that Lawrence gives every Sunday, of course, for the following days until we get to next Sunday, it's going to be on live stream, the whole entire service. So if you want to hear any of those songs again, just tune on in and flip ahead to where it is and listen. And the message then is clipped out and put in the an audio link that you can tune into any time and listen to the lesson that Lawrence has given throughout the year. Everything is listed there beginning in January and every week. I think that's under the in the menu. I think it's under Sundays or services, something like that, resources. Look around. It's not that difficult to find, and you'll be able to click on that. So we want to encourage you to remember Unity of Pompano Beach. Whether this is your spiritual home or you just happen to find us, we are here to provide uplifting ideas, not just to fill you up on Sundays, but to give you something to practice with all week. Because as we practice, it becomes a habit in our lives, and we create those habits of thought that sustain us. So onward we go. If you're shopping on Amazon, we appreciate your designation of Unity of Pompano Beach there. And certainly, if you are able, we would encourage you to please use our donate button and donate with your credit card. You may also set us up on a recurring bill pay at your bank. That's absolutely free to you and to us. And giving by NACH, check on your bank account also. Any number of ways, but we encourage you not to forget your spiritual source as we go about every day looking for the beauty in it. So as we want to give gratitude for all that you are giving, so many of you who continue to help sustain us as we move forward, let's use our blessing, which is usually about good, but for this month, let's remember that beauty is always ours and ever flowing as well. So with a grateful heart, we acknowledge God as source of all that is. Today, we let go of any concern of lack and allow beauty to unfold in our lives. Beauty is ours. Beauty and more beauty is ours. An ever-increasing beauty is ours. Everywhere we go, we see this beauty. We feel it. We experience it. We freely give it. And it multiplies itself around us. And so it is. Amen. Mm-hmm.